Boomer in the Morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good little show coming for you today. Got the three stars of the night. We got some Stephen Brunt for you. Eric Duhatchik, our hockey insider. Game one of the Stanley Cup Final underway and in the books last night, 3-2. The Pittsburgh Penguins find a way. Chris Letang setting the table for Nick Bonino.
Chris Letang jumps up, couldn't get the shot. He throws the puck at the net. Burns lost his stick block in the first shot.
Burns,
hard centering pass, quick shot, they score! Nick Bonino!
What does he say, Kachuk? You want to hear it again?
Yeah, reload that. What are you talking about?
He throws the puck at the net. Burns lost his stick block in the first shot. Hard centering pass, quick shot, they score! Nick Bonino!
Quick shot, good shot, yeah, okay. Yeah, Nick Bonino with very little time left. 2:33 remaining in the third. Gets it upstairs on Martin Jones with altogether too much time in the slot. Paul Martin, shoulder check. Just kind of give it a little look-see. There might be a guy in a black sweater preparing to put it right in your keister, unless you do. Oh, you're not gonna. All right, you can just see that look in his face, like
Well, Team Yellow's gonna win tonight.
Yeah,
I screwed that one up.
Are you new at the game? Maybe he thinks he still plays for the Penguins because, of course, he used to play in Pittsburgh. But a good game, fast game. I know we're joking about it, but it was. The tempo was awesome. The Penguins played a great first and third. Sharks responded in the second period with a pair of goals to tie it, just when it looked like this might be a long night for the San Jose Sharks. Tomas Hertl gets one, and then Patty Marleau wraps one on Martin Jones, Matt Murray, and Matt
in the morning.
But a pretty solid start to this series, which just has the feel of 6 or 7.
Yep,
because neither team. Both teams are very resilient. That's another thing about the Sharks. They lose this game. But the one thing we've talked about is how they've avoided the Sharks' blunders of years past, where they pile up when the games get to their peak intensity. Hey, we're fine. Settle in.
Yep.
Down 2-0, 2 goals in 1:02 in the first period. The crowd is roaring to get into the second, outshoot the Penguins 13-8, and tie things up.
Two more helpers for Bernsey. That was a big rally for them. The first period was all Penguins, and every panel ever assembled to do a Stanley Cup final last night was, oh, the speed of the Penguins is catching the... What about the speed? Boy, the tempo. The Sharks didn't know that the Penguins were quite... We get it, but they found a way to respond.
It was such a fast game.
It was.
That you heard the players talking about how they were... Even though they were the ones with the speed, how they were working to keep up with the play. Even Sidney Crosby was like, man, it was something just to try and keep up, let alone make plays. And I'll say this, man. Crosby, dynamite.
Yep.
He was dynamite last night.
I watched this series, and I think size is a nice thing, but isn't that more in vogue these days?
Yeah.
Is that not where you really kill people?
Man.
Size is comfortable, but I just don't know that it helps you win as much as speed and skill these days.
Specifically, what it was for Pittsburgh was forcing those turnovers.
Yeah.
We're gonna be right on space.
Yeah.
And you're gonna spit that puck up, and then we're going the other way fast. And they didn't score on everyone. That's the thing about Martin Jones. He allows 3 on 41, which is still all right. But were it not for some big saves from him,
41.
Even in the first period. Yeah, shots on goal 41-26.
And they did that to the Lightning in game 7 as well, with their season on the line. They put the Lightning in a spot where they allowed 40.
Sorry. Well, what am I apologizing for? I got it on silent. It's just my wife sends texts. Like,
she's not on silent?
Oh, I wish. Yeah, Jones was good, though. Obviously, 41-26. The Marlowe hit on Rust is one thing that's going to be talked about. Ordinarily, if a star player hits a third-line player or a depth forward, you're not going to hear much about it. But Rust has been one of the key members for this Pittsburgh team. He's got, what, 6 goals this postseason? He had 5 in 55 regular season games. He's got 6 already in the playoffs.
And at the time of the goal last night, he'd scored 4 of their last 5 because he scored the last one in Game 6, the only 2 they had in Game 7. And now the first one in game 1 of the final. I mean, you can call him a role player, and he is, but this is the run of his career. These last 3 games have essentially got the Penguins not only to the final, but a 1-0 lead in the final. It's, I don't see,
what
if,
did you
if his head is up and he's looking around and knows where everything is, I don't think he gets hit that hard. Am I crazy? I would put a lot of onus on Rust.
I do too. I think that, Marlowe is not that guy.
No.
He's been in the league forever. He's not that guy.
It just didn't scream dirty hit to me at all.
Even a fraction of a second, if he gets that head up, then it's a clean.
Yeah.
And I still think it is kind of clean. Here's Marlowe talking about his hit on Rust. Rust, after the hit, played one more shift and then left the game.
I just tried to keep everything down and didn't want to get too up high. I haven't seen a replay yet, so.
Do you think that there will be any repercussions to
it? I don't think so. I kept my shoulder in and elbow in and everything in, so.
Did you feel it on the shoulder in terms of the contact?
I just kind of let him skate into me, kind of, so.
Did you feel it on the shoulder? No, I ran into like a 200-pound human who was traveling at about 30K an hour. Didn't even notice it. I wasn't sure if it was a mosquito, if I missed him or not. Yeah, I didn't feel a thing.
Like, I know they're trying to get him to say,
just tell
I saw his head was down, and I just freight trained him. I dipped my shoulder and put it right into the butt of his chin. He's not going to say that.
No.
You hope he's okay, obviously, because he has been. He's been a key contributor for them. I was looking this morning, who is this guy? Played at Notre Dame.
Oh, he's a college guy. I love this guy. I don't even know.
I know, right?
Holy Toledo.
Yeah. I think he might be American, too. He's an American.
Wow.
That played at Notre Dame, played with Riley Sheehan at Notre Dame, also played with Nick Larson, you may recall, a former Flames pick.
Nick Larson
was a fourth-round pick in 2008.
A D-man? I'm trying to remember this guy. Forward? Winger? Did have a guy at Notre Dame for a while, and you're like, oh, he's doing nothing. I can now ignore this human for the rest of my life.
I don't know how I don't have.
That's incredible that you
pulled
that name.
Up-to-speed knowledge on Nick Larson.
That's Matt DeBlau deep. That is really good.
We were at the draft
when
he was selected, and the thing I remember about him was he was there by himself.
Really?
Drove to the draft by himself.
Where was it? Do you remember?
Minnie
would make sense.
Where it was 08.
Don't look it up. I just figured he had to be nearby if he drove himself. Jeez.
Got drafted, came down to the draft floor, came on the air with us. They'd given him his hat and his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was walking out through one of the tunnels, there were some Flames fans hanging over. Hey, yeah. Gave one of the fans a hat.
Cool.
It's like, that's your draft hat, dude. That's the first hat you were given by your NHL
always
team.
Always been about the fans.
He's very much beloved.
Only hat he ever got. Maybe.
Yeah. Just thinking, no, should have kept that.
Ottawa. Hat. It was Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Sleepy Canada.
There you go. Very sleepy.
Oof. Wake up, boys.
Anyway, so that's Brian Rust. That's a long way to get to a Brian Rust story.
Anytime you can squeeze in a Nate Larson reference.
But you know what? Here's the thing.
Nick Larson, whatever it was.
Nick, yeah. Wasn't a prolific scorer. This isn't Rust now. Wasn't a prolific scorer at Notre Dame. It just, you on one hand, if you're good, they'll find you, kind of a thing, right? He was obviously good enough to go to an NCAA Div 1 school and play and all of that. But even came out of school, Wilkes-Barre Scranton, played in the A, and now...
Well, that's... Sherry's the same thing.
Yeah.
Kuhnhackl, like, none of these guys are first-rounders.
We joked.
Set for
Who are these guys?
Yeah, but this is what Sullivan did. He came out mid-season, he brought some guys that he trusted... And you probably don't have to be an elite finisher to get some backdoor tap-ins when Evgeny Malkin's your center.
Can you skate?
Go to the net.
If you can go to the net, if you can keep up.
And think about it. These guys are all playing with Crosby or Malkin, right?
Yeah, I know.
Like, does life get a little easier? Go to the right place. Keep your stick on that frozen water.
Yeah.
Go to the net.
Hornquist, Crosby, Connor Sheary.
Malkin, Kunitz, Brian Rust.
Brian Rust, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's incredible what they've done. It's really pushed the depth down their roster. And like, what? Is there a line that goes out where you're like, uh-oh.
Black hole.
Penguins are screwed now. No.
No.
Absolutely not.
I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to say.
I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like it.
No, and it's not that I don't like it, because you're not wrong. You would like the Flames to have one of those lines. Instead of Matt Stager.
I don't like the way he does business. I don't like him.
But instead of a Stage and Bollig line, and whatever donkey might be on the other side.
Well, probably a Hathaway or a Boma or a Ferland, yeah.
Yeah. Speed.
Speed, man. It drives me nuts when you hear... I understand Berkey wants a big hockey club, but do you want a big average hockey club, or would you like a smaller skilled winning hockey club?
Now,
your
all
best
of the
players aren't huge. It's nice when you have skill and size, but this whole let's go draft Hunter Smith and let's go draft Keegan Kanzig, are those not thrown away picks? They're absolute monsters that you knew would have a very difficult time skating in the NHL, and the tempo's only getting quicker in this league. Stop picking guys that can't skate. Oh my goodness.
So what is this hockey sport? Well, you put skates on and then you have to skate.
Yeah. Well, he's huge, though. And you know what? I'll sleep better at night knowing that he will remain huge. And like Jay said last week,
you don't get unbig.
Not getting any smaller.
No.
At Kanzig.
How big is Kanzig?
That's a tough question.
614, we break. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning. On Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Tuesday morning. Welcome back to whatever this show is called right now.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Pinder and Warner is going to feature a little basketball, Flames talk, and it's TF Tuesday. Warner's busy.
Yeah, he's very
all
busy.
All kinds of show for him.
If Pinder keeps saying skill over size, we won't have to wait for Carlisle's hire because Burke will just throw him in front of oncoming traffic.
That's true. Look, there was a time and a place where that was absolutely the way to win. I just think rules changed in, what, 05? And teams have adapted?
Now, at that, and I know what you're saying. I just want to... The Sharks are not out of this series. The Penguins are not going to sweep them out of this series because of their incredible size.
No, of course not. And size with skill is no problem. It's size without skill is moronic, is my assertion. Like Brandon Bollig, for example.
Talking about the Marlowe on Rust hit. You can't skate through the middle of the ice with your eyes in your skates, looking for the puck, not expecting to have your bell rung.
You just have to be counting your blessings that it wasn't Scott Stevens back there. You might be looking at a hospital ceiling.
People talking about Kanzig. Kanzig is 6'14".
Wow.
Hmm.
7'2". He's Stephen Adams big.
He is Stephen. Is he Stephen Adams goofy, though?
Stephen Adams is unbelievable. We had Bunkus on, like one of the first times we had him on, and I was just like, I accidentally stumbled across this game. Who is this Stephen Adams? I've never seen him before. Because he looks like George Parros. He's got the huge mustache.
Yeah.
He's a monster. I think he's half Tongan and grew up in New Zealand. And Bunkus went off for like 5 minutes on him. I'm like, this is my favorite player. And little did I know, we'd be watching him like every other night and down the stretch. He's been great for them.
Steven Adams looks like 1970.
Yes.
Just like everything.
A guitar player in a band.
Just all of 1970, wrap it up, and that's what he looks like.
Ladies, Adams is in the back.
I mean, is he? Could he be a porn star? Could he be a musician?
Yes.
Could he? Yes.
Could he pitch for the Oakland A's? Yes.
Yeah. Could he have played for the Flyers? Yes. The Broad Street Bullets? Yes.
The Oakland Seals? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. All of 1970, he is.
Could he be the guy selling you LSD on the street?
Yes. Selling you a car? Yes. Like it's
the one you're driving. He might. He would have sold that back in the day.
No, it would 1970. No.
What's yours? 80.
Well, which 70? One?
I don't know. The one that might be from the 70s. I don't know much about cars.
Well, one's close to being from the 70s. Yeah. One's a 78.
Yeah, he could have sold that in theory.
Not in 1970. Hmm. It's not that old. Although I wouldn't mind a 70.
All right.
Get the 327 in there.
I don't know what that means.
With the posi track.
Jay, could you pot him down? Get the Masters move along there for us.
We'll do the playoff hockey report when we come back. We'll go into greater detail on last night's Penguins 3-2 win over the San Jose Sharks. Some data there that you might be interested in.
Data?
Yeah. We might even, with any luck, at some point this morning, we could even do a, hey, did you know segment.
It's on fire. Everywhere I go, that's what people are talking about.
Is that what people... Yeah, I feel it too, man.
I thought
feel
it was going to be the, am I out to lunch? But I don't know that we're out to lunch enough.
Yeah.
The did you know is all the time.
Yeah.
Just dropping.
Well, you know what?
Dropping knowledge, boom.
The problem with am I out to lunch is that I'm rarely out to lunch because I'm usually so bang on.
You're either napping or dead accurate. You don't go out for lunch.
No.
You're not out to lunch very often.
And if I do go for lunch, it's by myself because I don't want to associate with anybody. It's
probably a soup or one of those places with little boats with the sushi on it.
Oh, I love that.
The floats by. Like,
yeah, man. Spicy
I'll be
tuna,
eating some
baby.
Of you, Mr. Tuna.
Spicy tuna. That mayo is delicious.
Yeah. He's making them right over there. That's the port and the boat. It's coming towards me. I'm going to have one of you. Look. Oh, yeah. It's got a little dragon head on it.
It's a game and it's lunch. I love this place.
Am I out to lunch?
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Jay, do we have a poll up and running yet this morning? Because we were talking about it before 6.
Well, I want to clarify. Are we doing a poll about what our poll should be about? Or what are we... Like, how many polls should we do today?
I want to do a lot of them. I want to have, like, 4 or 5 running. You know what I'm saying?
Seems like too many polls.
You realize, like, The Rocket was asking you, like, 2 years ago to start doing daily polls on our website to drive traffic. You had no interest. And now that you can do them on Twitter and it's not driving traffic to our website, you want 8 a day.
No, but here's the thing. Kirsch wanted, like, real polls.
You don't have to be real.
Oh, so what are you... Why is it with Kirsch everything just begins... If there's a bad idea... It just starts, the best, Kirsch. Okay, well, we need a poll fairly soon here. It's time for the hockey report. Last night, game number one from the Console Energy Center. Can I make it sound more dull? I'm not sure. Penguins home to the San Jose Sharks. This is the battle of East versus West.
Just like every
first time this for the first time this postseason. No, for the first time this postseason, it's going to be West versus the East.
Oh, so excited.
First period. Brian Rust. Rusty opens the scoring for the Penguinos.
Justin Schultz is the first man back, and he's under pressure from Chris Tierney. Kunitz up the boards to set it. Brian Rust has great speed. Melker Karlsson is a forward. Schultz with a shot. They score on the rebound. It's Brian Rust again.
Yeah. My favorite part of that whole sequence was Justin Schultz jumping into the play and getting the first assist on the opening goal of the Stanley Cup Final.
Boy, could you believe the Oilers let him go?
I can't. What were they thinking?
Jeez. I mean,
pretty good, right?
Just when they get a GM who knows what he's doing. How did this guy slide? Oilers fans, this has got to be tough to watch.
Because here, what you were just talking about, how speed kills. You need to be able to skate. This guy sure can skate.
He can fly.
And the Oilers need mobile defense.
What are they doing?
What a bunch of donkeys.
Text line's going to be unbelievable.
A minute two later, she's Connor Sheary.
There's a race for the puck, and Crosby will get to it first ahead of Braun, who fell down. Sheary in front, shoots, he scores!
Pretty nice play by Sidney Crosby. If you've not seen it, that's all-world stuff. Full speed into the zone, and you watch the defender. This is absolutely as fast as you can go on a sheet of ice. Throws on the brakes with one hand, pulls the puck back up the boards to himself, and then kind of a no-look backhander right through the middle. That's what you teach your kids, right? When in doubt, just right in the middle. Goes on to the tape of Sheary, who, again, would just shoot. I'm a rookie. I don't know what I'm doing. Shoot. No. Pause.
Snipe.
Gonna find a little, gonna take a bit of a better angle, wait for the screen to come into play, and then put it right in the top of the left corner. Pretty great shot for Connor Sheary, his third. That made it 2-0 after one. And it looked like this was maybe going to be a runaway. Shots on goal in the first, 15-4. It's 2-0 Pittsburgh. The building is rocking, and the Sharks looked overwhelmed. They would settle in a little bit in the second. Kind of a bad penalty by Ian Cole to start the second gives the Sharks a power play.
Burns walks the line and passes off. Donskoy to the side of the net. Here's Hurdle, scores! With 12 seconds to go in the power play, and the penalty to Ian Cole, Thomas Hurdle gets San Jose right back in the game. It's 2-1 Pittsburgh.
Yeah. A lot of people lamenting afterwards that Cole penalty. Just unnecessary. Gave the Sharks a little bit of, just cracked the door a little bit, and they got the goal. And then a little bit later on, Patrick Marleau's been pretty quiet this postseason. It's been a lot of the kids. It's been a lot of Logan Couture. I was going to say Pavelski. He's not a kid anymore. He's 30. But Patrick Marleau, the old boy, gets a little rap job.
Couture. Pinned by Mata. Donskoy puts it back into the scrum. Burns with a quick shot. Boy, gets that away in a hurry. Rebound, wraparound. Marleau scores!
That ties the game. Shots on goal in the second. 13-8 in favor of the Sharks. Really good answer and response in the middle frame after going down by two and being badly outshot in the first. They turn the tables, put two more up, tie it going into the third period. And then the Penguins find a way again to ramp things up. They're coming. And then with very little time left, in fact, under three to go.
Chris Letang jumps up, couldn't get the shot. He throws the puck at the net. Burns lost his stick block in the first shot. Hard centering pass, quick shot, they score! Nick Bonino!
Tough play for the Sharks. You've got a defenseman without his stick, and the other defenseman's in front of the net, and he just loses his guy. Focused on the puck, it happens.
It's tough to do. When one guy loses his guy, the other doesn't have his twig.
Man, you know what? And you watch those goals in junior or with kid hockey, it's like, oh, you got to keep the... It happens everywhere. Stanley Cup Final, Game 1. 3 minutes to go. Paul Martin, veteran defenseman, loses his guy in front, and Nick Bonino puts it up top. Great shot. Bonino's fourth. The game winner, 3-2. Penguins take game one. Shots on goal, 41-26. Pretty good night for Martin Jones in spite of the loss. Makes, just the three on 41 shots. Matt Murray not as busy, obviously. Makes 24 saves. So I know that Crosby... When you look at the points, what did he do? All right, he had one assist, four shots on net, 56% in the faceoff dot. But I thought he was terrific. I thought he was the best player on the ice, and showed again, in spite of one point on the night, how he can control a game.
Yep.
He's got it all. He can make plays. He's dangerous offensively. Back checks hard. And watching him and Thornton, I said it earlier this morning, that's what I love about the playoffs, is when that comes out of players that you just don't see. You don't get that in the regular season. Watching Joe Thornton whack guys to the back and slash guys in the back of the leg and get into it with Malkin and punch him right in the mouth,
mm-hmm.
That's Joe Thornton. He is so subdued and laid back. Now it's go time. And when he ramps it up like that, it just can't. I just love it. That's why the playoffs are so great.
Right. And again, you can't do that for 82.
No.
And then it's just, A, you'll be in the penalty box all night, and B, there's too many games.
It's his first final.
There's no way you can do that.
It's his first final.
Like watching Ferland last year. It's his first time in the playoffs. He's running around going crazy a year ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't do that 82 times a year. You could show us more than like twice, but you can't do it 82.
Right. Bonino gets it. Pretty good acquisition, as it turns out.
Big time. It's funny because Vancouver really liked that deal, and I wouldn't say Brandon Sutter's a bad hockey player. I think he's probably a really good one. But they're paying him money. He needed the deal. Bonino, affordable, goes the other way. Had a really tough year in Vancouver, but the career numbers were always pretty strong in terms of possessing the puck, putting up points, fitting in with skilled players. He's been an absolute gem. And you look at all these depth guys, Jim Rutherford's name's all over it. We've been making fun of the guy because it sounded like he wanted to be living in Florida playing shuffleboard rather than being a GM 2 years ago.
Now
he takes over. There's been some really shrewd moves, and just in terms of adding depth and being able to lengthen that lineup, as we talked about earlier.
Would he be? Well, here's the thing. If he were in Vancouver, he would not be in the playoffs. You would not be seeing this type of performance. And I don't know what he would have done as a Canuck necessarily going forward. He had 15 goals and 39 points in 75 games as a Canuck last year. You look back to that deal.
Well, Sutter hardly played. He was injured almost all year. So it's not fair to say that Sutter hasn't worked in Vancouver, just that the cheaper player is now starring in a run of the Cup final.
But you go back to that original deal. Ryan Kesler wants to be traded. You're over a barrel if you're the GM that has to deal with that trade request. The whole league knows it. He's got big dough. Only so many amount of teams can handle that cap hit.
Well, and he only wanted to go a couple places, didn't he?
So, okay, we're going to send you to Anaheim. So, Anaheim, what can we do? They got Lucas Sabiza, who's, maybe not that great.
Not what they wanted, that's for sure.
But he's playing, right? He's a guy on their blue line that's probably in over his head a little bit. They got a first-round pick that they used to select Jarrett McCann. They got a third-round pick, and they got Bonino.
Yeah.
Which, in the end, it's like, okay, you got a NHL defenseman, Bonino, Jarrett McCann, and a third-round pick. What's a third-round?
You turn McCann into another NHL defenseman.
Yeah, so pretty good deal for a team in Vancouver that was backed into the corner a little bit.
Here's the better deal. The Penguins send an expensive player who's good, not great, to Vancouver, get a similar amount of production back at half price, and then spend the other half of that money on Eric Fair. Two players for the price of one.
Yeah, you know what? We were not talking about Nick Bonino 4 months ago.
Well,
he had nine goals. He had nine goals.
Yeah.
Right?
I hate to say it, and you're going to kill me for it. The numbers community loved that trade for Pittsburgh. Not only just for the production, which has always been there.
But was that not more of a Sutter thing?
Well, it was both. One was a much better possession player than the other, but it's half price. I mean, is this not a league where you need to have all kinds of great deals on your roster to win? That's a great deal.
Yeah.
Is he making even $2 million? I don't have him in front of me.
He's 28. But he was actually a Shark originally. He was taken by the Sharks in the 07 draft and then traded to Anaheim. So again, whether he was unwanted or whatever, he's bounced around, but has clearly found himself a nice little home here. And it's about timing and it's about chemistry. There's a lot of things going right for Pittsburgh right now.
And he's got Kessel on one wing and Hagelin, who looked lost at the beginning of the year, on the other side. There's some skill there working with him.
There's a lot going right for the Penguins. They've got a backup goalie who's their number one goalie. They've got Bonino and Kessel's leading them in scoring. Hagelin is working. Rust and Sheary are scoring goals for them. Like, what's not going their way right now?
He makes less than Lance Beaumont. Well, $1.9 million this year and next year. That is a sweetheart of a deal.
Yeah.
My goodness.
We'll see. Can they keep the good fortune running? They'll play game number two tomorrow night back in, of course, in Pittsburgh. Last four teams in the Stanley Cup final to win game one have gone on to win the cup. What does it mean? Maybe nothing. But recent But recent history would tell you that it could be something to look at.
What? And last series, Did the Sharks and Penguins win the first one? I know Tampa had won 2 to get up 2-1, but I think they lost the opener to Pittsburgh. We were talking about speed again. Can't recall the Sharks one. Either way, win the first one, you're in good shape.
Penguins, the first Eastern Conference team to win game one since Carolina did it to Edmonton in the 06 playoffs. That was when Rolison was out and Conklin came in. Do you remember that?
And Markstrom, the whole...
Yeah.
Oof.
Jussi. Markkanen.
Markkanen.
Came in for game two.
Jakob Markstrom, yeah.
Did he play game two?
They did.
Because Conklin came in.
Well, when did Rolison get injured? Was it in the final or was it before the final?
No, I think it was in game one.
It was in the final, yeah.
Game one of the final. Conklin was the backup. He came in.
And then they probably went to...
The juice.
Markkanen.
Oiler fans will let us know.
They will.
They're already letting us know about how the Schultz, we should, you know, Schultz was overplayed in Edmonton and put in position. Oilers don't regret it.
We're teasing you a bit.
Hey, man, I don't know what to tell you. There. I don't, hey, did, he's three wins away from a cup, man.
He was awful there. He was awful. It totally plays into the narrative of Edmonton ruins everything. That's probably had nothing to do with it, but it certainly fits nicely.
I mean, the numbers are what the numbers are, dude. Three wins away from a cup. What's his win-loss record since he got traded from Edmonton? That would be great.
It'd be insane. I'll look it up. Here's the other thing. They scratched Olli Maatta to play him. Yeah. Olli was healthied for Justin Schultz. That would be inconceivable 6 months ago.
Schultz. Oh, it's so good.
Kunitz up the boards to center. Brian Rust has great speed. Melker Karlsson is a forward. Schultz with a shot. They score!
10 years in a row. One more to set a new NHL record. The playoff drought continues in Edmonton.
We'll come back with that and other news. Jays win as they are starting to roll. Game 7 in the NBA West Conference Final. And other stuff. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is May 31st. Get to our website if you haven't already and take part in our City Green Landscapes Backyard Renovation Contest. Sportsnet 960 teaming up with David Feek and City Green. You have no idea. This is borderline life changer in how you live your life, how you live in your backyard, barbecues, hosting, you know, dinners and barbecues, having people over, the whole thing. It's going to change you for the better. Outdoor transformation of your backyard. We're talking $40,000 worth of landscaping for your yard. Outdoor lighting, paving stone patio, fire pit, the irrigation for your green, for your lawn, the trees, shrubs, whatever, all of it. They specialize in this, obviously. They're going to come to your yard if you're the winner and say, here's what we're going to do for you. Here's what you think. Now, let's work together, come up with a plan, and then we're going to do it. Go to our website, sportsnet960.ca/contest. Brought to you by City Green Landscapes, featuring Barkman's Concrete Products, David Feek, Feekster, and City Green Landscapes, creating landscaping projects done right. Visit their website, citygreenlandscapes.com. We'll announce the winner on June 13th, which sounds like a long time away, and it's not.
2 weeks.
You're wrong if you think it's a long, long time
away. Not a long time at all.
Tis not. 6:44 on a Tuesday, just after the top of the hour. Going to check in with Stephen Brunt. I'm guessing the Raptors fallout. I saw some of it yesterday. It's now they're very worried about Bismack Biyombo.
He's gone. I'm sorry. See ya.
He gone.
When you can quintuple your salary, you go ahead and do that.
Yeah. What? Because again, I don't.
He made 3 this year, and he'll make 15-ish.
Yeah.
And he's not a great fit there because they have JV as a focal point and young center.
I'm sorry. Who?
Jonas Valančiūnas.
Thank you.
The Lithuanian. He was a nice fit this year, but he's going to be more valuable to another team. Thus, someone will pay him more than the Raptors will. Cool. Is he going to leave $5 million on the table? Like, if someone says, boy, that Boomer and Warner show sounds so good every summer, we got to hire that guy. And, oh, well, Warner doesn't come in the summer. Oh, it's Boomer. We'll make his salary five times what it is. But Kirsch is like, well, I could double your salary. Like, you're gone. Yes. Five times? See ya.
Oh, God, I'd be gone. I'd be so gone.
Well, we had
don't even need to double
it. Just run here. I can't really match that offer.
Yeah, well, it's just not in the budget. You know, because I've got my bonus.
Yeah,
but
to Spain. Eh?
Ooh, it's inside. Ooh, how did that happen?
What are you talking about?
6:45.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Oh. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
Wow.
Wow. I don't know that there's ever been a line that we could cross with Kirsch. I might have just done that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't need any. Well, I'm going to go on the Flames trip down to Arizona.
Not going to send one of the guys?
Well, it's short notice. And as always with the Pinder Report, here's Ryan Pinder. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Dean. Let's get to game one of the Stanley Cup Final from Pittsburgh last night, where it was all about a quick start for the Penguins in period one.
Pop it up ahead to Russ, and he flies into the Shark zone. Drop pass over to Schultz. Wristing on block. In front. Penguins dive and they score. Sheary in the Shark zone. Wrist shot. Hey! Schultz and scores. Connor Sheary from the right wing circle. Drills it by Martin Jones from 24. 2-0 Pittsburgh. Let's go hunt moose on a Harley.
Yes, I like that hunting moose on a Harley thing. And, you know, the big two for Pittsburgh, watch out, Sheary and Rust. After after Rust's goal, the opener of the game, is sixth of the postseason, he had combined for 80% of the Penguins scoring in their last five goals? Four of the last five?
Yeah.
Game six.
Rusty!
Big goal there. Game seven, the only two they had against Tampa.
Rusty!
And game one of the Stanley Cup Final. There he is again. Kunitz and Schultz, your helpers. Quick start. It was
Beefarino.
All about the Penguins at the first intermission. Even Don Cherry said, oh, this is the Penguins game. They're going to win this. They're too quick. They're going to win game one.
Is that Don Cherry?
He said it was the Penguins game.
Oh. Just looking at him, he had a head like a skull. Yeah.
But in the second period, the Sharks found a way to respond somehow, even with it being the Penguins game, as Don said so.
Burns to Donskoy, right side, down low hurdle, turn, shoots, and score! Burns the shot right on net, save made. Rebound Marleau, wraparound, he scores! Patrick Marleau, a wraparound, ties the game at two!
Could you just play that at regular speed instead
Burns of... Burns the shot right on net, save made. Rebound Marleau, wraparound, he scores! Patrick Marleau, a wraparound, ties the game at two!
Was it Bring Your Kid to Work Day?
Right on net, save, score! 2-2 through 40. The Sharks, a somewhat resilient second period, I thought. They were manhandled in the opening 20 minutes. Off to period three we go, where the building had a scent of overtime wafting into the building.
Oh,
what do you smell? Is that overtime or is that tanning oil and spandex shorts? Because it was HBK time in Pittsburgh.
You know I'm sexy.
The sexy boys.
This is
the Penguins. Came up with a big play late.
Rocked him, stepped and shot, but he lost a stick. Now the Penguins trying to exploit that. But dang, in front, got a man there. Bonino shoots and scores! Nick Bonino gives Pittsburgh the lead, 3-2. And Martin Jones just lost his liquor license. Penguins 3, San Jose 2 with 2:33 left.
So sexy.
Oh, would you sit down?
Benito, Kessel, Hagelin.
I don't need to see this.
Who are these people? I love hockey. Hey, Pittsburgh fans. Been real fun with you on the Twitter. I'm going to see you in Pittsburgh for game five.
In the Berg.
Up in the Berg. Yeah, the sexy boy HBK line with a huge goal. Let's hear more. What about the man himself, Nick Bonino?
Yeah, I just came into the zone a little bit late. I saw Tanger in the corner, and Haggy was down there battling with him, and wasn't sure if I should get out of there and get above their guys. And they kept alive, and Tanger put it right on my stick. And
Tanger.
You know, it's one of those shots that wasn't my hardest shot by any means, but I just found a way to kind of flip it over him.
We don't care!
Great pass from Tanger.
Stop talking! What about Tanger? What does he think about the HBK line in a really thick French accent?
Yeah, I mean, that line is being huge for us. They're
so
tough
sexy.
To handle, huh? With all their speed and they have that Bonino, that's a smart player that get them the puck or he's so smart. Like, he's so smart. Like, try to raise baseball again.
You know, like, you can get a guarantee from Mr. Lube or the HBK line. They were great. So, yes, the HBK line again. Striking late. This
is just...
One concerning note.
What are we doing?
From the Penguins front, Brian Rust, franchise pillar and core player, left the game after taking that heavy hit from Marlowe. We'll keep an eye on his status.
His heart out.
Moving forward. One comment resonating everywhere surrounding game one.
Sexy. Oh, yeah. The ladies love you.
This coming in on the fan feedback line. How come Duffman is doing the Pinder report?
Oh, yeah.
The Penguins' speed was something that continued to get talked about. Very fast at hockey. Good for them. Tomorrow night, game two from Steeltown, 1-0 Penguins. And I don't know if they're going to bring Shawn Michaels or not, but clearly it doesn't matter. The one game he showed up to, they weren't really good.
I like Duff, man. That's very good.
So sexy. NHL news.
Oh, yeah.
Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman reporting yesterday that Ken Hitchcock will return to St.
Louis Elliot
next year, everything, but perhaps not with the exact same staff as he had this year. Blues players says, well, Hitchcock, he's the guy to get this group a championship.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Someone said something like that. His staff currently includes Kirk Muller, Brad Shaw, and Ray Bennett, but don't be mistaken. This is all about Muller here, right? This is a guy the Flames should be interested in. Eh? One lap as a head coach in the NHL with Carolina on a not great team, but a guy that was quickly through the head coaching ranks and someone who has ties to Marty Gelinas. Muller was head coach in Milwaukee, Nashville's farm team, when Marty Gelinas was player development there. Mm-hmm. When Muller left Carolina, Gelinas got behind the bench as an assistant in Milwaukee. So there is a relationship there, not albeit one with Berkey, which seems to be important because we're hearing that, Steve Simmons reporting out of Toronto, the Flames had a second interview with Randy Carlyle.
No, 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 no!
So, will you be allowed to wear protective headgear when you step in front of traffic?
Here's the thing. I don't want to live in a world where Randy Carlyle gets another shot as a head coach, so I'm just gonna...
Like, ever?
Randy! Hello, Randy, what's up?
Like, never?
Hey, Pat, fuck off.
Yeah. Already, Carlisle and Steinberg
at
odds, apparently.
Randy. Don't do this.
You don't think he'll...
We talk about this every day. Why are they interviewing him again? They're like, well, this guy really wasn't sharp. Let's interview him again.
No, maybe they liked what they were hearing. It's like, you know what? We were really
every
surprised
team I went
by
to
what we got from Randy Carlisle.
Possessed the puck less than the guy who coached them before me with a similar roster. Yes, I'm your guy to help you possess the puck more.
Well, and if there's one thing we know, Berkey loves analytics.
Hey, they didn't have to say it in the press conference. It's just going to look silly on them if they hire him. Hey, we're all about possession. Go hire the worst possession coach of the last decade. All right, good stuff, guys. To the majors we go. The Jays facing the Yankees for the second time in three series. They played in New York last week, came home to face Boston. The opener last night. This is a busy stretch between the Bo Sox and the Yankees. Marco Estrada spinning a gem, 8 innings pitched. Pretty rock-solid performance. Edwin Encarnacion drove in a pair, and Ryan Goins had a big day at the plate as well.
2-0 pitch hit in the air, deep to left field. Back goes Gardner. He's at the wall. It's gone! A little Goins gone. His third home run of the season puts the Blue Jays up 4-0.
Goins gone. 4-0 felt like a very safe lead, but hey, this is the Jays' bullpen. Tense moments indeed. After 108 pitches through 8, Estrada had to leave, meaning somebody had to close this thing out, and it wasn't a save situation. No Osuna. So they went to the return of Aaron Loop.
You love Aaron Loop.
No.
Love fest.
No!
When it comes to you and Aaron Loop.
And after Loop allowed a two-run homer and got one out, they went to Drew Storen.
Mm-hmm.
No.
He was all right.
All kinds of diarrhea. So they finally find a way to close this thing out. They did get three outs before they allowed four runs. 4-2, your final. The story, though, Marco Estrada. He is holding hitters to a 184 average this year.
What?
That leads the American League. That's incredible. Also, has now beat the Yankees twice in 5 days. First Jays pitcher to do that since 1982 when Dave Steeb did it. Pretty impressive. Estrada's been real good for them. It'll be Jay Happ tonight, who might be the other guy you'd say has been their best pitcher this season. He will go against CC Sabathia, 5 o'clock on Sportsnet West. To the NBA we go. Big game last night in the Bay Area.
Curry with the ball down the near sideline. His choice of screens. Picks up the dribble, finds Klay Thompson. He'll fire away. His jumper's good at the 3 with Westbrook on his hip. Klay Thompson having an incredible series. His 6th 3 of the night.
3-1 in the NBA is not like 3-1 in an NHL series. You get a 3-1, you win the series. It's probably the same as 3-0 in the NHL. It's almost never come back from. The Warriors did it last night on home court. They're off to the NBA Finals, and Steve Kerr, their head coach and former Bull, giving a lot of credit to the Thunder, who clearly this one had to hurt.
Congratulations to OKC and their organization. Phenomenal basketball team that we just played, and we survived by the skin of our teeth. But they are incredibly talented, incredibly well coached.
As for Steph Curry,
very, very good looking.
The retractive basketball team. Steph saying didn't buy the sky was falling routine when everyone else thought it was after being down 3-1.
You know, 6-7 days ago when we're down 3-1, everybody thought the wheels were falling off and it was kind of the end of our run.
Wasn't the end. They're off to a second consecutive final. They get LeBron. The two biggest stars in the game head-to-head. This is why the NBA can be good. Stars always on the big stage.
Are people hating on the Warriors now?
For
they
what?
They win last year. They have the 73-win season. Now they're going back again. Because you know what it's like. People hate success. People hate other people's success.
I don't get that sense. There's a bit of an underdog feel to Steph Curry. He's sort of this gangly, normal-looking guy who's not 7 feet tall, who can't, you know, dunk off a rooftop kind of thing.
Pretty good.
And, hey.
That helps.
I think with LeBron, there's a bit of that. Oh, we're sick of this guy. Oh, look at him and all his money. Oh, he's got a $500 million deal with Nike. Oh, great. Yeah, whatever it is. Curry seems to be more relatable to folks. 28, married, a little bit scrawny. Isn't that all of us, really?
No.
Okay. There's your NBA update. That's your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
Thanks.
Fan feedback line is open. Boomer, are you high on grass? Well, if you mean, am I using Green Drop? Yeah, man. Peter Marr, if it's good for Peter Marr, who am I to debate it?
Listen, if it's good for Pete's state of mind, it's good for all of us.
They come, they do the little thing, but they put some lawn seed and then the
food. I'm Peter Marr, high on grass.
Yeah. Get the hell off the NBA already. Now, we did spend about 90 seconds.
It's a lot.
Talking about the league final.
NBA update.
Sorry about that.
And this one here, as we come up on the top of the hour, your show is everything that is wrong with sports talk radio.
Sexy radio.
What do you mean?
Just a sexy Kessel. Too sexy for torts.
The very sexy Stephen Brunt will join us after the top of the hour. Right now, 6:59, Sportsnet 960.
Yeah!
The Fan.
So sexy. Then he's here weak whenever I